watching Exchange TV. This current series, I Choose the Fruit of Grace, is all about how we can choose to live in the goodness of what God has already put in us. So prepare your heart to be blessed today. Prepare your heart to be encouraged with this incredible message of God's love and grace.
It's funny, we had a few weeks in France. I always have stories from my holidays. I have a particular one I want to share this morning. It's part story, part confession. I in France, the way they, the law, it seems, is that you have to wear Speedos. And this caught me off guard last year as I was going into the pool and said, "Hey, boy, no. Les Speedos." I said, "All right." 20 euros later, 20 euros. Talk about taking the rip. I found myself clad in Speedos. But you know what? Once you get used to something, it's easy enough. So this year, I was jumping into them. I was like, and so we were in this campsite and had massive slides. And huge slides going like six stories high. And by the time, I had to do this with Ben because Penny was chicken. And so I would go round and round the slides with Ben. But there's one particular one where you hit the water at the end. And the thing was, it would fling you from side to side. And then you would be sort of flung out into the water up high. Now, and normally, if you're normally clad, that would be fine. See, when you're wearing wee Speedos, that's difficult. And at one point, I had gone round and round. And there was this pregnant Irish woman from Cork sitting pregnant, and I don't know what that is, but that's pregnant. And she was sitting in the pool watching her kids come down. And I'm going to try and do the accent because it made my day. She said, "Are you having fun?" And I went, "Yes." She said, "Can I give you a little suggestion?" And I was like, "Yes." And I listened to this. She said, "Maybe when you hit the water, a little bit less tackle on show might be better for the children." And I went, she said, "In fact, not just the children, for everybody." I was like, "I'll bear that in mind." She said, "Yes, keep them together." And and I went back to bed. I went, I have obviously been flashing to the whole campsite as I hit the water like that, you know, kind of with my speed. I went, "Oh, Jesus." So I said, "Penny, pack her stuff, we're moving, love." Every time I saw that woman, I kind of did a quick, maybe a little bit less tackle on show. I thought, isn't that amazing? So, yeah, holidays were good. I've tried to book the campsite for next year, and they wouldn't let me go. Don't know why that is. So it's great to be away, but it's also great. That is true, by the way. God bless her. It was funny. So what we've been doing this summer is we've been talking about how we get to choose to align ourselves with what God's done in us. And the fruit of grace in our lives is that many people in Christian churches, and particularly charismatic churches, have been told that what you do is you go to God with everything that you need. If you need whatever, from internal stuff and healing and financial provision, whatever, you go and you keep battering down the door of God until he moves and releases blessing from heaven into you. And then when he's done that, you go, "Thank you, God," and we go along until the next time when we have a need, and then boom, we go back to God and we say, "We cry out to you, God, we're crying out, will you do more?" But actually, that is a complete twist of what the Bible says Jesus has done. And in this series, what we've been saying is this: you get to choose to align yourself with what God has already done for you. So our Christian walk is not about God, will you do? It's about Jesus, thank you that you've done. And now I need to realign, and I need to thank you for what you've done in me. And I need a bigger comprehension. I need my capacity of understanding and revelation to be bigger to see the full work of Christ in me. Because the fullness of the kingdom rests in people like you and like me. Jesus is not holding back on anything in the kingdom. He's already invested it in you and me. And he says, "You release my work. You don't stand before me and say, please, will you do, Jesus, what he says he's already done?" That's why so many Christians are so frustrated. That's why they bang their heads off the walls. That's why they make stupid decisions, because they haven't quite comprehended. They haven't quite had the revelation that the grace of God and the love of God is a full work. It is not incomplete or missing anything. And so what that means is for us is God doesn't do cosmetic change. He totally recreates you back to what you were meant to be. It's not about outward behavior modification, which is the thrust of most of the church, but the grace message and the grace and the love of God is that you'll be transformed inwardly. From the inside out is the change that God does. He doesn't try to modify your behavior, first of all, to get you to do anything, actually. That makes sense. This is what metanoia means in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. This is a little bit out of our last series and into this one. It says, don't despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering. Do you not know that it is the goodness of God, the love of God, the grace of God that leads you to change, leads you to repentance? Romans 2, 4. Repentance is the word metanoia. Remember this one? It means that God says, I need you to have a radical transformation to see me and to see what I have done in you as totally, totally radical and new. And so the battle for you this week, next number of months, is not concentrating on what is wrong with you and trying your best, you and Jesus, one day at a time to make it better. It's saying, Lord, today, will you radically transform my heart and my thinking so that I have a revelation of your love and the sonship that you have bestowed on me? Because the more he becomes bigger and his work becomes bigger, the more you change. And that is your nature. I'm going to talk today. I was given the title patience by myself, to be fair, but it's all in order. Do you know what I mean? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control is what we're talking about over the summer. And it falls to me today to talk about patience, which is a funny one. Because in my journey, I kind of feel like I've got a gold medal in this. And I also feel like I'm standing in the beginner's toddler's end of the pool. And depending on what day you get me on, depends how well I think I'm doing here. God spoke to me a while ago, years ago, and said, it is your nature to bear good fruit. Whenever we read these verses in Galatians 5, says, love, joy, peace, patience. Do you know that is your nature? That's not something you need to wait on God for. This is not something deficient in you. Your nature, whenever you're in communion with God, will bear good fruit. Now listen to me. And that's what this series has been about this summer. God changed me. I have his life in me, the Holy Spirit of God in me. I receive new information about who I am, so I change my core belief. I take appropriate action in line with those new truths. And not to get God to do, but I do because of who I am. And the results are evident. I will bear good fruit. That's what the Bible says. Because that is my new nature. And that's what Paul was talking about in Galatians chapter 5. Wayne did a great job last week of telling us about how they were mixing law and grace. They had received God's unmerited favor, the grace of God. And now they were trying to mix grace and law. And actually in Galatians 5 verse 12, Paul describes it as this, unsettling and confusing. Two wee words that you skim over when you're reading. But he said, if you try to take the unmerited favor of God and the love of God, and you try to mix it with your own self-effort to get from God or to do for God, you will be unsettled and you will be confused. Let me give you an example. That's how people get to the stage where they think that a good, loving, kind God will give you cancer to teach you a lesson. Jesus, the most creative, the king of the universe. And what he has to do is bludgeon the ones that he loved and gave his life for the most in order to teach them a lesson. That's confusing, but that's a mixture of law and grace. Whereas the unmerited favor of God will say, I am blessed and I am anointed by God. I will have my challenges. What we do is when we mix law and grace, what happens is we become unsettled and we become confused. And that's why the Lord says that there is no other message other than my unmerited favor. Now, here's the interesting thing. Your nature might be right in you today. If you need more love in your life, if you need to see more joy in your life, I'm telling you, your new nature given to you by Jesus will produce that. But it only produces it, according to Galatians 5, when you do everything in result of partnership with Jesus. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Because the word karpos in Galatians 5, the fruit, the karpos, is the result of what? Just having God in you? No. The result of you working in partnership with Jesus. Everything that's done as a result of you in partnership with God in your life will result in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and you get to choose that. So what it means is when it comes to choosing the fruit of the Spirit, whenever you actively cooperate, and whenever you actively cooperate to go, I will have peace. I will bring God into the middle of this because peace is not the absence. Peace is the presence of Jesus. When I start to do that in union with God, I start to see the fruit in my life. If I simply go around deciding not to choose to cooperate with what God has done in me, I will not see my new nature bear fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, karpos, the word fruit means everything which is as a result of you working in partnership with God. And partnership in this respect means choosing what he has done in you. If you all have that in you now, you can choose it. Now, today's a really funny one because some people would say I'm impatient. Try not to look at too many eyes as they all look down. But have you ever acted in haste and thought, why the heck did I do that? What was going through my head? Sometimes I feel completely schizophrenic, I'm going to be honest. I get up. There's times of great patience and capacity. My eyes are opened. Things are okay. People are not too bad. I set one foot out of the bed and it all goes wrong. Completely and utterly, life goes mental. Impatience comes in degrees. It goes from mild frustration to outright anger. Whenever we have gratification in our lives which is delayed and what we want is slow in coming, when we're inconvenienced, we all know the feelings, don't we, that evokes. Sometimes we get really mad and sometimes we feel just a wee bit narked. And we feel this impatience. The world likes it fast, doesn't it? I'm probably at my most impatient when I'm in the car. Dear God, I don't know how some people, they must have got their tests in the back of cornflakes boxes. Seriously. I was out with John Wasson, who's an elder in this church on Friday night, and he was all over the road. We nearly didn't make it to Ballyclare because he's one of these people who, he was having a conversation with Stephen McCulloch in the front. And know the way you drive forwards? Well, he drove like that. And the result was we weaved and bobbed, and I sat with like tight grip, gripping, I was between Wayne and Penny, gripping, going, Jesus, get us to Ballyclare. Angels on the top of this car in the name of Jesus. And I was thinking, I don't even, see in Ballyclare, do you even have to do driving tests out there? No. It's probably, see why I think once you go past East Belfast, it's taxes and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't really apply to country folk. So here's the point. So I'm in the car thinking, oh, and then you get, but when I'm driving, terrible. What about at McDonald's? I've only been to McDonald's once or twice. And I wouldn't go that often. Have you ever found yourself getting annoyed at some spotty teenager who's taking too long with your £1.29 burger? And then you catch yourself on, you go, seriously, I'm in McDonald's Conswater right now, and I'm getting impatient because my burger's taking more than 34 seconds. Because they're talking to their mates in the drive-thru about what they're doing tonight. And you're like, seriously, just get me my burger? Fast food McDonald's, huh? 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 Do you want me to come over and do that, huh? Huh? No? No? Maybe you should all be praying for me this morning. Because we all know what that's like. But the problem is, I don't even want to talk about that stuff. Do you know why? Because it's irrelevant. That stuff we can work on and we can change. But in the middle of Galatians chapter 5, what Paul is talking about is that we bring these level of impatience and this way of dealing. The problem is we bring that kind of stuff into our walk with God and it causes havoc. It causes absolute havoc. And the issue for us is, and the issue for you today, impatience and hastiness, the implications in your life are far more than simply feeling frustrated with people. The implications are far more profound because in the middle of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. And everyone's going, yeah, give me love, joy, peace, self-control. Yeah, I'll have that. And he goes, patience. And you stop and you go, hold on. Love, yeah, just I love more of that. Joy, absolutely. Peace, oh, absolutely. Self-control, absolutely. Patience, hold on. It jars a little bit, doesn't it? But here is the profound implication for you. If you don't have patience and know what patience is, you'll not inherit the rest. Patience is a key to seeing the inheritance of God in your life. And that's why Paul mentions it in the middle of everything else. Because otherwise we would be people who are quick off the mark. We want this, we want that grace. Just give it to me now, Lord. I'm under favor, I'm under blessing. I just want it now, 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 now. And in the middle of all of the good stuff, God says, you're going to have to be patient. And you know the truth of it is we don't like it. It cuts across our whole world. I don't want to be patient. But patience is a gift given to you that you can choose today. And I promise you this. It's a big one and it matters. You choose patience, you will see yourself unlocking love, joy, peace, goodness, and all the rest of the fruit in your life. If you're impatient, you'll never see it. Because oftentimes, remember that The karpos, the fruit of the Spirit, is what you do in partnership. If you decide, even as a Christian, in a covenant of grace and favor and mercy, if you decide to be impatient and to take it back into your hands, you stop being in partnership with the Holy Spirit, and therefore, ergo, you stop the work of God in your life. Patience, right in the middle of all these fruit, is key. Now, what am I actually talking about? Let me define patience for you from the words. It means the capacity to tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. The capacity to tolerate a delay or problems or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. It means steady perseverance and diligence. It means being able to endure under difficult circumstances and when you're under strain. That is godly patience. And whenever you hear that and you go, I can't. I mean, God knows even this week, I've had times of going, I can't do this. Honestly, I can't. I'm done, kaput, had enough. Get me out of here. Beam me up, Scotty. And God says, you have to choose this. You have to choose to, when things are difficult, that you can tolerate the difficulty because you are in grace. I'm going to explain that very quickly. But that's the definition. The point is this. Whenever in our lives we have difficult circumstances or we have challenges, if we're not based in the love and the grace of God, what will happen is our natural self will want to lead us out of difficulty as quickly as possible, take the route out that seems to bring the best relief, because that's the way we're hardwired outside of the Spirit of God. But it leads us to decisions that are hasty and impetuous, and we're not working in partnership with God, and therefore we don't see the rest of the fruit. And what Paul is saying now is that whatever, I want to give you hope today. If you have been impatient for God and said, God, I need to see this breakthrough and I want to see this breakthrough, but I'm struggling. God says this morning, I'm going to show you that you can choose to tolerate it, the circumstances when they're hard. Why? Because you're under grace. And in the middle of these incredible promises of love and joy and you seeing them come out in your life, in the middle of it all, he says, you will have to choose to persevere. And everyone goes, no, I don't want that. I want my 129 burger and I want it now in 30 seconds. And don't you dare make me wait, God. And I'm going to tee up actually a series that I'm going to do later on in the year from the life of Joseph. Because when you endure in God, it's not about self gritting your teeth, but it's about not enduring, but resting. I'm going to talk about that towards the end of the day. God is always working out his purposes in you, and he does it in the process at times of waiting. And if you don't know how to wait, you'll be frustrated with God, you'll shortcut and circumvent the work of God, and you'll be frustrated. You'll make stupid decisions and hasty decisions, and then at some point wonder, how did I get here? For Penny and I, we have chosen week after week, month after month, and year after year to persevere with church, with people, and with everything. And I thank God for those moments at times of going, God, in my own self, I can't do this. But if I take some time and rest, if I take some time and immerse myself in your love and your goodness and your promises over me, which I need to do more of, then all of a sudden, I find myself starting to reap peace, reap joy, reap self-control, reap all the rest of it. Why? Because God has shown me, and he says to you this morning, no matter how difficult your circumstances are, you get to choose the ability to tolerate and to keep going. Done in partnership with God, you reap fruit. That's what patience is. Out of the story of Joseph, he's the 11th son of Jacob. He was born to Rachel. Let me give you a quick summary. This wee fella from his early teens is highly favored by God, highly favored by his dad. From an early age, Joseph knew that he had a calling from God. He knew because he had dreams about people who would come and they'd bow down to him. Everyone know this guy, yeah? Okay, I'm going to do a series because it's an absolute cracker. Now, what happens is he goes to his brothers and he says, one day you're going to bow down to me. His brothers get a wee bit narked off by that. And so they say, well, let's kill him. And then they go, well, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him into a pit. And they sell him as a slave. So his family completely rejects him. He's cut off from his dad who loves him. Now, long story short, because I'm not going into his whole story today, I'm just going to use him as an idea of godly patience. Because what Joseph does is, no matter what circumstance he finds himself in, he acts with integrity, he serves with all his heart, and he sees the promise that God spoke over his life as a teenager come to pass over 5,100 days later. as he stands as the second in charge in the country of Egypt. And God uses him to save an entire nation and to save his family from death. He knows that he's called from God. Now, I think he actually jumped the gun when he was a teenager and blabbed out too much of what was going on inside him, and it ended up him in the land as a slave. Just imagine for one minute, he was given opportunity after opportunity to renege on what God had put in him. He was given opportunity after opportunity. He could have slept with his boss's wife, probably would have got away with it. He could have done lots of different things, but he chose integrity every time. He chose to act according to what God had put the call on his life every time. And because of that, he spends 14 years in jail. 14 years. I think if I was waiting for anything for 14 years, I probably would mess up real badly along the way. But Joseph prospered, we're told in the Bible, because he had God with him. Now, the point is, for me, in Genesis 39, verse 2, we read that he was a prosperous man because God was with him. And that was the key to why Joseph ended up going from the pit to the prison to the palace. And I want to say to you this morning, you might feel like you're in a prison right now. The walls are covered in around you. How do I get out of this, and how do I find freedom? How do I take the words that God has spoken over me, and how do I see them come to pass? But here's the thing that we're going to learn later on in the story of Joseph. He learned that because he had a promise on his life and he had a promise spoken over him, that he could be confident that God was true and that he would make it come to pass. That whenever God speaks a word over your life today, if you choose impatience, if you choose to take it back into your own hands, if you choose to duck out because it's hard, then I promise you, not working in partnership with God, you will reap all sorts of stuff which will do you harm. Joseph, as a young man, understood this. I am loved by God. I am called by God. And that was what helped him to tolerate 14 years languishing in a jail. Because his focus was not on where he was right now. His focus was on the call to be in the palace, ruling over the people. And he knew that people would bow down to him, and he knew that God would call him. And so wherever he found himself, he used what God had put in him to serve and to give his life. And God brought it about over 14 years later, as a teenager, probably 16 or 17, into slavery, and age 30, standing in the court of Pharaoh, and he is appointed and promoted over the whole land. Second only to Pharaoh himself. Why? The key for him was, in every situation, he tolerated and he endured. Why? Because he was stronger than you and me? No, because he was a young man with a promise. Do you understand that? Some of you need to reignite in your heart today. That you might be in process right now, and you might be impatient for God. You might be saying, God, why has this not happened? Or why is this happening? God has ordained a big future for you. There was a responsibility on Joseph's shoulders and a responsibility on your shoulders to save a nation. That's what we're called for. You know that a country would have starved to death without Joseph's expertise. But where did the expertise come from? Was he born with it when he was 17? No. He patiently walked with God in the dark place and in the covered place, knowing that he had a call and God would be faithful to see his promise through. I want to give some of you hope this morning. God has not forgotten you. You might be feeling like you're in the prison and you've been there for a wee while and you're going, God, I don't see these walls coming down. I don't see those promises that you've spoken over me coming to pass. And some of us, what we do then is we take it all back into our own hands and we say, I'm going to do it my way. And sure, we might even pray about it and all the rest, but essentially, if there's an underlying panic of, I can't do this, you haven't chosen patience. And what I would encourage you to do this week is simply say this. Lord, where I am right now is my preparation for something much greater. God doesn't waste a minute of your life. He doesn't waste 1 second of where you're at. He doesn't waste one second of every day. But what he says is this. Now listen to me. How you decide to wait will determine how long you've got to wait for. How you decide to wait will determine how long you will wait for. Does that make sense? So whilst you're waiting, we need a revelation to say, I am loved, I am a son, I have every blessing from heaven at my disposal. And if I am not seeing, as I walk in partnership with God, some of that fruit, then I need to be like a Joseph who said, I will not compromise, I will not be hasty, I will not take things into my own hands, but I right now will use my time as preparation for greater service. And what God does, the blessing is in the journey. You see, if you have a dream from God in your heart, or you want to see God break through in a certain area, honestly, when God sometimes says, you're going to wait, do you know why that is? Because if you were to get what you really have in your heart right now, it would kill you. You wouldn't be prepared for it. I believe in the 14 years of Joseph in the prison, serving away, doing what he was called to do, at times thinking, flipping Nora. He even helps out the baker and all that kind of, the guy who takes the wine and all that, and he helps him out, the cupbearer, and they forget about him. I mean, talking about getting continually kicked. It's like, hey, boys, I've just saved you as well, one of them. And the other one, you know, but the point is, I've just helped you out. Will you remember me? Oh, hi, Joseph, don't you worry, big J man. I'll go out and have a word with the man upstairs. They sort themselves out. Well, one was sorted out for him, and he's back. I just felt the Lord say to some people this morning, hang in there and rest in the love of God. There's no other place, like Adam sang this morning, that I'd rather be than in the love of God, because it keeps my perspective and stops me from being hasty. Because I want to walk in partnership and choose what God has done in me. It's not easy. It is not easy. But too many Christians lap out because it just gets too difficult. And it's not that God is making it difficult. What he's trying to do, you know, we preach a kingdom that is ever expanding and ever growing. We teach about true riches in this church. That's why I love exchange. We don't lap out like churches and go, well, God might want to heal you. No, God wants to heal you. And you can bladder me to the wall all day long with your awful interpretation of the word of God. Jesus is a healer. He is a healer yesterday, today, and forever. He's good yesterday, today, forever. He's faithful yesterday, today, and forever. And this kingdom that we're talking about in exchange, this being in the presence of God, is not a bless me up. He's trying to prepare you to carry greatness. And it takes big people with big capacity to carry the presence of God and to carry greatness. Not people who will go, God, I don't get it now. I'm going to stamp my feet and walk out because you've just not come through. We've got to be prepared. And if you can't stick the journey of being prepared, then don't go to God and ask for the kingdom, because you're not ready and you never will be. And I've said, God, this week, I have got to choose this through gritted teeth, because I want to be a carrier of the kingdom. I want sick people to be well. I want these kids this week to go back into those houses is saying, I don't know what happened, but I encountered love. I encountered grace. Like Penny said, in 10 years' time, we don't know what these kids this week will go back and become. Simply because you or me or somebody else speaks a word over them, prophesies over them, lays our hands on them, and we have kingdom builders. And we have young men and women coming into our care this week, and I want them to encounter the love and the goodness of God. Why? Because they'll go out and they'll change, but that's what God is preparing us for. We can't always play in the shallow end of the pool and dream about being out in the middle of the sea in the presence of God and seeing the kingdom of God come with healing and deliverance across this nation if we will not tolerate at times waiting as God prepares us. But the good thing is, this is why the love and the grace of God totally changes the dynamic. Without a message of God's love and grace, what you do is you simply sit put and you go, I'm ghost one day at a time, sweet Jesus. I'll go up in the prayer line, get a wee touch, wee that, wee woo, and might fall over, might not, but let's go out and then I'll just hang on till next week. That's not what we're doing here. In Romans 5:25, Paul wrote this. He said, through him also, this is in the Amplified version, so a few more words. We have access, entrance, or introduction by faith into this grace, the state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. Let us therefore rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us be full of joy now. Let us choose it. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance, fortitude. It develops maturity in us of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyfulness and confident hope and eternal salvation. And such hope will never disappoint, delude, or shame you, because God's love has been poured on you. Do you know why some of us don't live in the love of God? It's because every time it gets tough, we take ourselves out. We take it back into our own hands. And we have this incredible verses this morning saying, no, see when you feel the pressure come, you get to choose in that moment to say, God, you in me, give me the ability, and you've given me the ability to walk through this process, knowing that every day is preparation for the palace. You get it? If you don't think like that, you'll be tempted to take a shortcut. I have so many stories which I don't have time for. I'll keep them for the Joseph series. Of how Penny and I have banged about at times on just feeling like at times, God, are you for real? Can't be that honest. Like, seriously? Hello? Up there? In here? Why am I walking through this again? Why am I doing this again? And the Lord said, how you wait will determine how long you wait. But what always brings me back is the fact that I don't need to grit my teeth and endure. I need to learn to rest in the love and the grace of God. And he continually reminds me, if he spoke it over me, like he spoke over Joseph, I will see it come to pass when I work and I cooperate in partnership with the Holy Spirit. We've got to get that grip. No matter how big our circumstances are, God is bigger and he's working out his purposes. And we'll get ourselves off dead-end tracks. I want to say this, my last point. Patience is rooted in love. Patience is the fruit of God's love in your life. To the measure that you believe that you are loved by God, called by God, equipped by God, held by God, favored by God, you will choose to walk in that, based on how deep that revelation is in your heart. That's why this church is here. That's why I love Exchange. I don't want to see any more Christians continually, it's almost like the apple in front of them that they can't quite grasp. I want to see us equipped for greatness, equipped to be carriers of the presence of God, fully capable to go from the prison to the palace and save this nation. Do you not think, here's the thing, what we do is we look at Joseph at the end of his, not the end of his life, because that's when the beautiful reunion, you know, Disney should make a movie. Oh, they did. And, you know, where, didn't they make a movie? Yeah. And, you know, when the father comes back and they get to bury him and all this kind of stuff. But do you not think that saving a nation was pretty hard work? Do you think that Joseph waltzed out of prison and was like, brilliant, I'm here. 14 years of preparing and learning and serving and managing in Potiphar's house and learning how to manage affairs and do all that sort of stuff. And then he finds himself in a place where the weight and the expectancy and the life of a nation is on his shoulders. I think that in the preparation time, he learned how to wait on God, to use what God had put in him. And he was in the rhythm and in the groove so that when the greater responsibility, the greater responsibility that God wants to put on this church came, he was ready to hold it. It didn't blow him over. But it's flipping hard. If you do it yourself, when you rest in the presence of God and the love of God, all of a sudden it becomes a lot easier. That's why we do this church. Hebrews chapter 6, 18 and 19 says this. This was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to ever prove false or deceive us. God is not a liar. We have fled to him for refuge that we might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and to hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Now we have this hope, this confident expectation of good as a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul. It cannot slip and it cannot break down
under whoever steps out on it. Some of you this morning, step out on the love of God. Stop doing it yourself and being impatient. Impatient doesn't mean feeling upset with somebody. Impatience means I can't tolerate and wait on God because it's too hard, so I need to do it myself. That's impatience. And it robs us. I want to encourage you this morning, step out on his love. Step out on his goodness. Step out on his grace and say, God, in myself and in my physical self, in my human self, I don't feel like I can cope. But right now, I'm going to trust and choose that you'll carry me through. It's what I called years ago when I spoke at CFC, living in the now and the not yet. It's the story of Penny and I waiting for kids. How do I know and how do I speak out the words of faith and wait on God with faith when I don't see anything changing? I know that my God is true, his word is steadfast, he will do all that he has promised, that I am favored and that I am blessed. Well, what you do is you choose patience. And instead of going, God, this is another day where I'm not seeing you move, this is another day where you have changed me and molded me to be ready for what is coming my way. See that change? I've had to do that really regularly. Instead of saying, God, this is another day where you've disappointed, no, this is another day where you've made me ready. And I will choose today and I will choose tomorrow to be ready. Because I want to go from the prison to the palace. One thing is certain in life, before things change, you'll have to have a period of waiting. Take any character. Penny was encouraging me this week from the Bible. And she said, if you look through every big character in the Bible, there's a time of waiting and preparation. Let me finish this last thought. How are you going to wait? You've got two choices, and there's only two. You can be active or you can be passive. Each of you are going to wait in these times, actively or passively. The word wait in the Bible actually means this. It doesn't mean you sit in your backside scratching yourself, going, well, I'm under grace, and so the Lord will come through. That's called passive waiting. Very camp, wasn't it? I need to stop doing that. I'm far too good at the whole camp thing. I need to stop that. So that means that's sitting around waiting for things to change. Actually, the word wait, I read this in Joyce Meyer this week, so I'm going to give her the credit because she knows her stuff. But she said the word wait means to expect, to look for, to serve. So waiting on God and in preparation and being patient with God is not sitting around kind of waiting for God to do something. That's passivity. But it's about seeking God, seeking encouragement, and taking steps towards your destiny. Do you know that radically changes how you wait? And it radically then will change how long you've got to wait for. Oh, Joyce is good, isn't she? She should go and preach. We should encourage her to go out and preach more. She's brilliant. And so I've been getting my head around this week saying, Lord, well, here's the deal. I am where I am. And so I can choose one or two things. I can sit my backside and say, Lord, I'm blessed, I'm favored, yeah, brilliant, and you just do it, Lord, cloud cuckoo land. Or I can say, I'm going to expect goodness, I'm going to look for goodness, I'm going to plan for goodness, I'm going to serve so that I see goodness in your life, I'm going to pour and invest myself, knowing that every day is one step closer from going from the prison to the palace. And here's the great thing. It's not about me trying to get God to do it. I can do that because he's done and that he's spoken it over me. So what is it that you're waiting on God for? What is it in your life? Are you waiting on him speaking? Are you waiting on him breaking through? Are you waiting on him deliver? Are you waiting on whatever it happens to be? I'll finish with this. How you wait will determine how long you wait for. Choose patience. Choose to say, his spirit in me has equipped me and given me all that I need. And so I will not sit passively, but I will actively pursue the goodness and the love of God in my life. I will fill my head and my heart with the truth of who he is. I will serve and I will give myself in service to Jesus and to his church. And I will see the goodness of God. Amen. Why don't you stand?